Good morning. Or should I say welcome back? I have just a few announcements. First, make sure you get a bulletin because there's a lot of information in here pertaining to things upcoming this week. But I am going to highlight a few. As far as in-gathering goes, most of you probably have already received your letters and assignments and duties for in-gathering. George Knowlton and Philip Robinson need somebody to barbecue hogs for in-gathering. Scott Green has been doing it for years, and as you all know, Scott is not going to be able to do it this year due to his leg. So we were going to extend that invitation to anybody in our church family that was interested. If you want to cook a couple of hogs for our in-gathering, or interested in getting with a group of guys, or you know anybody, if you want to cook it, please get with George Knowlton or Philip Robinson about that. Also, pertaining to in-gathering, Stephanie Carver needs any pictures you have from past or any kind of pictures you have from past in-gatherings and stuff. She's putting together the book for our in-gathering auction this year, and she needs this by next Sunday. So if you have any pictures that you would like to have added to this book, please get those to Stephanie by next Sunday. Also, you know, we're all aware of the needs in our community, the needs in our whole state, really, from the flooding this past week. And so our church carried some things to Camp Bob Cooper, which is a shelter for flood victims. We carried breakfast items and things such as that. We are still collecting those items. They are still in need of people to come down and cook. They are still in need of people to just provide items, you know, pancake mix, orange juice, milk, eggs, anything, any kind of breakfast, bacon, that's right, any kind of bacon, any kind of breakfast items that you can donate, if you will, bring them and put them in the refrigerator if they need to be refrigerated, or just sit them in there, and somebody's going to get them down to Camp Bob Cooper. At this time, Allison Nolfins has an announcement to make.
Hey, good morning. I just want to announce quickly that the Christian Learning Center, the Clarendon Christian Learning Center, we're having a prayer walk in Manning next Sunday at 4 o'clock. If you're interested in going, please be here by 3. With the detours and stuff, it's going to take us a little longer to get there. And also, if you're saying, what is she talking about? Next Sunday, we will presenting, hopefully, what it is, what we're doing, and where we're going, and how you can help. So next Sunday, but so just put this on your calendar for next Sunday after church, 4 o'clock, but meet here at 3 for us to go to Manning.
I think Mary Lane has an announcement.
As you saw the announcements on the screen, Harvest Party is coming up. It's October 21st, and I just wanted to ask y'all, we need volunteers to help. We have sign-up sheets in the hallway and in the front of the church. So if you can help, because we'll need help with games, serving food, a prayer tent, we need lots of help. So please sign up to help, and also pray and invite your family and friends, people in the community. We're going to have a fun and unique presentation of the gospel this year, and we would love for y'all to come. It's for our church. It's for the community as well. And I just wanted to share a verse with you, Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So what better time to go out into the harvest than invite people to the harvest party? And I also have invitations that you can hand out to your family and friends and community. If you want to come see me, I can give you some of those. Thank you.
Also, who's in charge of Christmas play practice? Is that canceled for tonight? It is, because of District League, that is canceled for tonight. And Patrick's announcement was District League. They leave at 4:15 to go to Wheel of Faith's, and church services are canceled tonight. So please, if you were planning on coming here, go to Wheel of Faith. And if you weren't planning on coming here, go to Wheel of Faith also. So, and I do want to say, it's so good to see all the visitors sitting on the front row here, and I'm sure there are some others scattered around, but I neglected to welcome y'all, but y'all are welcome, and we'd love to have you back anytime. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Thank you, Jamie. And thank y'all to anybody who was able to help with that. And like I said, the needs are still there, and we're still, as a church family, trying to meet as many needs as we can. So if you come up with something, you know, let us know, and we'll try to handle it. At this time, let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, Lord. And Father, I just ask that your presence be with us today, Lord. Father, as we worship you, in Jesus' name, amen.
After having been out of services for several weeks because of God's divine purpose in the flood area, we can certainly say today as a family, a church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Expressing that joy of worship, let us join together in the call to worship. This is the day, followed by hymn number 81. Please stand and worship the Lord and praise the day. This is the day, singing together.
This is the day.
What a wonderful Savior we have. Christ hath for sin atonement made. Singing together. While you're standing, greet those around you and wish him God's blessing today.
It always astounds me when I begin to stop and think about how that God has given to us the power, the ability to create life. I mean, to me, that is one of the most amazing miracles that God has bestowed upon us. And I've got to tell you, as a parent, there is just something that happens the very first time that you look into their eyes. All of a sudden, I mean, your heart just melts, right? And it don't matter if you've had one or you've had 20. There's just something that happens when you do. And you know in that moment, that you love them with a love that goes beyond anything that you can ever explain to anybody other than a parent. You know that you love them so much that if there's only enough bread for one sandwich, they get the sandwich. You know that you love them so much that you would give your life in exchange for their life if that's what was called for. And as parents, we want our children to have the good life. And most parents will do everything within their power to make sure that their children have that opportunity. I think the push comes against us as parents, at least here, is an understanding of what the good life entails. For some people, it's money, it's stuff, it's houses, it's cars. But in the end, we need to recognize that the good life involves a relationship with our God. And if we can give them that as a parent, if we can give that opportunity to embrace God, then we've given them the opportunity to experience the good life. And really, I believe that is the commitment that Jamie and Holly are making, not only to Avery this morning, but it's also the commitment that you make to God, that you're going to do everything that you can to raise little Avery Kate in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And because it's that serious, I'm going to ask you to meet me at the altar, and any of the family that wants to come with you, they are more than welcome to come to the altar. I ask you to come to the altar, not because we're not in the presence of God in other places, mind you, but I ask you to come to the altar this morning because I believe when we are here, it is an absolute recognition that we now stand in the presence of God. And what you do, yes, you do for Avery, but more than anything else, it is a commitment that you guys are making to the Lord. Now, February 3rd of this year, God blessed you with an incredible gift. And now today, you stand with her before God. And you're saying that you're going to do your absolute best to truly raise her, to know what it means to be, well, to know what it means to be a follower of Christ. You're saying that you want her to love the Lord, well, like you love the Lord. So you're going to do your best, and your best means that you're going to tell her what the best is. That's part of raising children. But your best goes beyond that. Your best also means that you are going to show her the way. You're going to read the Bible to her. You're going to not only pray for her, but you're going to pray in front of her. You're going to take her to church. You're going to encourage her. You're going to let her know what God is doing in your lives. And so today is a good start. Simply asking to God to bless her and her life. You're doing what parents have done for a long time. In fact, way back when Jesus walked this earth, there was a group of parents, it says, that brought their little children to Jesus that he might touch them. In other words, he might bless them. And it says that Jesus told the disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he took them up in his arms. He put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a scene. I mean, can't you see the kids climbing all over Jesus? I can. I believe he was having the time of his life. And then he blessed them. And what a blessing it was. And that's what we want Jesus to do today. We want him to reach out and bless little Avery. And so Jamie and Holly, are you committing yourselves to God this morning that you will be a living example of faith, not only to Avery, but to Reagan as well, and to bring her up in Christ's holy church? Will you seek to lead her to accept Christ as her personal Savior? Yes, sir. And I ask the family to gather around, because I think it takes the whole family. You all have a role in her life because you are family. And so as much as you're supporting them by standing right here beside her today, you know that you'll be there whatever the need is tomorrow and the day after that. But it's a great thing because we just don't do faith alone. We do it within the church. And so this morning, church, I am going to ask you to stand as a sign of your support, your willingness to play a role, to do whatever it is that God might open the door for you to do, that you might indeed be an extension of the Lord's blessing to this family. And the truth is, what we do today, we do through prayer, and then we do by asking the Lord's blessing. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we gather together this morning at your altar as part of your body. And we're asking for your blessing upon this family, and especially your blessing upon Avery Kate. We ask that you will begin right now to prepare her for the high calling that you will have upon her life, preparing her to be one of your choice disciples. And Lord, we look with anticipation for that very moment, that day when she's going to choose to embrace your grace and your love in her life. And Lord, we pray for Jamie and we pray for Holly. They're going to need you to be working in their life so that they can truly fulfill the commitment to be godly parents. And Lord, we pray for us as your church, that we will help them as they seek to live out their faith. Lord, in the end, we want to please you. And we want you to use us to be an extension of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Avery Kate Lane, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I dedicate you to the Lord. And I pray that all the resources of your family and of your home and of your church will nurture and encourage you towards a decision to follow Jesus. And what we do today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to give you a dedication of certificate. And I'm going to ask you to sign it when you get home. And I'd put it somewhere so that you never forget this moment and the commitment that you've made to your family. May God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. You may be seated. Thank you, church. And now before the pastoral prayer, I want to show you a couple of slides. And it was amazing to me. Obviously, the need came in. We weren't, you know, who could be prepared for what transpired last weekend and early this past week. But very quickly, there was responses, what can we do to help? And who knew really what to do at first? And then there was this idea that, hey, let's go get the people stranded out at 95 and see if they want to come for coffee and donuts and something. Now, what we found out that what we thought was what God wanted us to do, I think really God changed it into something else. We thought we were going to bring them back. They were stranded and we'd give them a place they could kind of stretch out. Really, what they needed was directions. And once they found out they could get around it, they hit the road for the most part. But we had three or four guys out there that were out there for hours giving directions. And I believe they even got texts back that the people had arrived back on 95 and were on their way. But in the process, we found out that there was a lot of people that were working long shifts, and they put their life on the line for us every single day. And when we need them and we call them, here they come, and they'll rush in where we don't go. And we found out that they needed some. And so here are a few pictures of what transpired. Now, they're upset because I said I was going to show this on Sunday morning to everybody. No, not really. What I told them, I said, give me your best Sunday morning look. Really, that was not it. As you can see, the smiles were very much more rampant. And there, by the way, in the corner is one of the state troopers that came not only to eat, but also to pick up food and to take out like Jamie did and went south. But there was all kinds of cooking, and they started early in the morning. They cooked all day Monday and all the way through Tuesday morning lunch, Tuesday breakfast. And so, yes, this is not all. And by the way, Brant was kind of our go-to guy. He was on the phone. He works that phone. You better get ready. We need this many to go. Or here's this next group coming at this time. I mean, he was kind of on the phone and working for it, and I was kind of joking, but he really did organize for us. But a lot of people came, they sat down, they ate, and no, this was not all the pictures that transpired. There was others out there. There was more help going on. Food was being taken to shelters. I just didn't have access to pictures to those. I guess what I'm trying to tell you this morning is I love it when God moves in a heart and says, you got to do something. And then you might not even know exactly what you're supposed to do, and God may redefine what you're supposed to do, but if you're willing to do it, God will get you to where he wants you. And I believe that's what's happened in a variety of contexts this week. Again, those that cooked and the meal served here, the food that was taken to other shelters. There were even other things that supplies were gathered up and sent to another church that was taking stuff in as well. But thank you for letting the presence of Christ in your life so move you that you had to do something. I believe that's a big part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do open our hearts to you again this morning. And we thank you for your presence in our life and how that presence truly has changed who we are. And we pray, Lord, that we'll give you more room and more place to work in our lives today than we ever have before. And Lord, we look out and we know that so many need help. So many need to know that you love them and you care about them and that you'll take care of them. And Lord, we pray that as your church that we will go forth and that we will do whatever it takes to tell them about you. And yes, Lord, we're mindful that there are a lot of people hurting today, a lot of people suffering today. There's a lot of people that have lost a lot of things. Some of them may have even lost some hope. But we pray, Lord, that your church would rally around those that are hurting and reach out in practical ways to share that you love them and that you care about them and that there is always hope because of you. And Lord, as your church, we pray we'll be mindful to just be available. As your church, we pray for those on our prayer list, and there's many needs that are represented. We also pray for Reverend Julian Gamble and the report that he's in the hospital and not doing well, and he's been one of your choice servants for so long, we don't even know how long. And yet, Lord, we know in this moment that he just needs your special touch and your presence, and so does the family. And Lord, the thing we're assured of is that you're doing that just now. Lord, in the end of the day, when we leave here, Lord, we want to love you more than we've ever loved you before. So bless our time together with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Ushers, if you will, please come forward to receive our offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for all the abundant blessings you've given us, Lord. And Father, as we give back a portion, Lord, Father, we just pray that you just use it to glorify your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just before the pastor comes and shares a message this morning, we'll have another congregational number. During the singing of this number, we will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining time of the service. Also, this morning, along with our special, Brother Walsh, I have to kind of adjust a little here. little Emma Webster said to her mommy and daddy, "I'd like to sing a special too this morning." And so how fitting, on a Sunday morning when we had the dedication service, little Avery Lane, to have one of our little people of the church come and share also. So when Maggie comes to sing her special, bring little Emma along up and let her share her number that she'd like to sing this morning. And we praise God for children, for everyone who's willing to serve the Lord in this way. Let's stand together, joining and singing the first and last stanzas of 220. Number 220, first and last stanzas.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. At this time, we'll have little Emma come and sing, and then Big Sister with her special this morning. You adults will come up here and stand. Thank you. Okay.
It starts with a desire. Plant it deep within your heart. You pray in faith and wait for God to move. Time passes and you wonder, did he hear me when I called? Should I even have prayed that prayer at all? You never pray a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater. There comes a time when childlike faith must graduate to trust. Trials come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. And he'll answer when it's time with what is best. Never pray a prayer your father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. Must be a greater yes. Sometimes God will answer just like we pray. Then other times what's on his mind is a better plan, another way, a greater yes. You never pray. Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater. while you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best. Trust God if He says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There must be a greater yes.
You all thought I was joking when I said sometimes it's scary to look out at you, right? Sometimes it is scary, all right? But the truth is simply this. When we come before the Lord, we know that what He gives us, well, it's always grace. And that's what I want. I want grace. It's a beautiful thing, grace is. That's several years ago, I was teaching a class at the university level, and the students before the final had asked me if I couldn't possibly give them a few bonus points at the very end to give them a chance to get a few extra points going into the final grade. And so I put a couple of questions on there that basically, if they were breathing, they could have gotten right, okay? All they had to do was be alive, and they could have got these points right. And then I simply put a little caption below them and said, grace, it's a beautiful thing. And it is a beautiful thing, and yet we still find people that walk away from grace. Somehow they want to earn it, or they want to deserve whatever they get. I was reading a book by Kyle Idleman, and he was telling about how he grew up in a Christian family, and he went to a Christian high school, and his chemistry teacher, Mr. Hollingsworth. Now that sounds like a chemistry teacher to me too, by the way, Hollingsworth. Anyway, his chemistry teacher was reading a book, because it's Christian college, by Dr. Charles Stanley, and it was about grace, and the final came up, and he said, we all knew we was going to have to really study hard for this, because a lot of material was difficult, and so he said he spent a great deal of time studying for this final. And when they got there that day, Mr. Hollingsworth said, now before you do anything, I don't even want you to put your name on it, I want you to read this test in its entirety, and then you can begin. And so Kyle said, I began reading this test. He said, I realized I was in trouble. He said, I should have studied a whole lot more. He said, I studied a lot, but I realized I had not studied enough at that point. But at the very end of the test, his professor, his teacher, explained that he wanted to share with them about grace. And he said, if you want to receive an A on this paper, all you have to do is go back to the front of the page, put your name on it, and turn it in, and I'll give you an A. And that's grace. Well, Kyle said it was a no-brainer. He signed his name, and he was out the door. And he said almost everybody else was, except one student. She was going to take that test. She didn't want grace. She wanted to earn it. Now, maybe that's okay for a test. I don't know. But folks, when it comes to the Lord and what we get from Him, I want grace every time. It's beautiful because I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. God loves me. God forgives me. God's got a plan for my life in His kingdom, and that's grace. And yet we still try to mess it up, don't we? I mean, you get around, and for years, I mean, it's kind of almost, you listen to people talk, and sometimes it's as if they think, well, look, if God's going to forgive me no matter what I do, I might as well live it up, right? That's grace. God will forgive me. But that wasn't anything new. Not anything new at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul dealt with something similar to that thousands of years ago. He said, shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? And they said, God forbid we do that. We died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? In other words, once we've been set free from sin, why do we want to keep sinning? And why do we think God has to forgive us except that God said He would forgive us? Well, to answer Paul's question this morning, how can we live any longer in sin? I sometimes want to say, well, pretty easy. I'll confess to you that I find at times, even though I know how bad it is, I find it awful easy to continue to do. And so I plead grace. Grace is not a license to sin, by the way. It's the freedom to live the way God intended us to live in the first place. And living for God does not rob us, but it enriches our lives. Now, our text this morning comes from a little bitty book in the back of the New Testament called Jude. One chapter long. It's not very long. And Jude was writing to these people because they had some false teachers in the church. And these false teachers were doing what people have done throughout the history of the church. Some of them were trying to pervert grace. And so Jude wrote this letter to contend against this idea of perverting grace. And the truth is, today with technology, this idea that there's so much falseness that's out there, I believe probably the words of Jude need to be read with more regularity than we do. Because there's a lot of false teachers that are out there that are saying a lot of things that just ain't true. And when you couple that with this mentality today that we ought to accept all beliefs as valid, I think we're in trouble. And so the church needs to hear what Paul wrote or what Jude wrote. And the truth is, I think things are urgent. Think about the Middle East for a little bit. Think about, I mean, we've got some people that have been displaced out of their homes. But think about the countless scores of refugees that have had to walk away not only from their home but their homeland. You think, start thinking about some of the stuff that's happening over there, it ought to wake the church up, right? And we really don't even have to go overseas. We can start talking about how there's people in our country that will walk into churches and pull the trigger. There's people that will walk onto a community campus in Roseburg, Oregon, and start killing people. And at least several articles said that he was identifying Christians before he pulled the trigger. And then not even a week removed, another campus in there. Look, there's plenty of hatred to go around, right? If the church doesn't wake up, I mean, when are we going to wake up and realize that our country, our world, needs to hear about God's grace and God's love? Because until they do, we're going to continue to hear about things like this. So, Jude, this morning, I'll ask you to stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read the first four verses, though. I want to tell you where I'm going here is the back end of verse 3. All right, the first verse, Jude says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. You may be seated. And specifically, again, the back end of verse 3, he said, I urge you. In other words, he said, this is important. I'm urging you. Contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to us. Contend for the faith. And I believe it's more important, maybe as important today as ever, that we contend for the faith. And we need to wake up as the church. Because I think the church has been in neutral too long. Or we've been silent too long. And if we are talking, we're just complaining. Boy, things aren't the way they used to be. Well, rather than doing all this complaining and not doing anything, let us arise and stand up and contend for the faith that has transformed and changed our lives. To contend is a strong word. It means that you give it your all, your best effort. You do it until it hurts and you keep on doing it. In other words, we contend and we don't stop. Look, people will fight over anything, right? No, really. I mean, oil, land, money, words, family, prejudice, religion, we'll fight over it. And most of the time when we fight, it's not for a noble cause, although I suppose occasionally it is. But I want to tell you this morning that Christ, his church, the gospel and grace, these are things that are worth fighting for this morning. And Jesus illustrated just how precious and valuable and important the kingdom of God was by telling a couple of little bitty short stories. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went out and he sold all that he had, and he bought the field. Oh, everything. He had to have it. Jesus told another story. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. So Jesus said, look, what being a part of the kingdom of God is worth everything that you possibly have. And so to contend for the faith, we've got to do more than think about it, talk about it, have a meeting about it, or throw a few words in a, quote, prayer about it. We've got to do battle this morning. I mean, we do battle differently, and it may surprise you the way that we do it, because our battle is not a jihad. All right? The highest honor in a jihad, Islamic holy war, is to kill the infidels, right? But the highest honor in our battle is not to kill someone, but to lead them to Jesus Christ. And allow them to experience His forgiveness in their lives. For them to experience the transformation that comes when they embrace Him and His calling upon them. That will bring freedom. That's the way that we do battle. We overcome evil with the good of God's love. And that's why we must be faithful and intentional in sharing His love with everyone. So it's time to contend this morning. To contend for the faith that has been entrusted to us. And the truth is, one of the ways we start contending for the faith is we stop letting other people define Christianity. There's a lot of people that want to tell us what Christianity is, right? And the only problem is they don't know what it is. They talk about how we're insensitive and intolerant and out of touch. That's not Jesus. All right? They want to portray us sometimes, especially different environments, as being a joke that no self-respecting person would embrace. And truth is, maybe some of the time they get these impressions because of us. I don't know. But the truth is, Jesus said, we are to be the light and salt of the earth. In other words, we're supposed to be out there and we're supposed to be living for Christ in such a way that people will understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus by looking at our lives. Through us, they see Jesus. And they ought to see that we enjoy life. They ought to see in us, even in those difficult and most toughest moments in our lives when our world's falling apart, we still have hope because we know that Christ holds on to us. And if they don't see or hear anything different in us, then how can we expect them to embrace Christ? So we contend. We contend for the faith. We go, we give our all, our best effort until it hurts, and we keep on going. And we never stop. Look, there's people that need to know. And I think it's a wonderful thing, even what transpired as part of this church this past week when meals were made for people. We didn't know most of these people, but we knew that Jesus wanted them to be fed, right? We didn't know whether these people needed the directions out there or not, but we knew we needed to do something. See, I believe if the church will stand up and start truly being the hands and feet of Christ, sharing His love in practical ways, if we'll feed their stomachs, we just might get to serve them soul food too. Look, to love is to care. And to care is to do something. Look, we are supposed to be witnesses. That's the way we contend for the faith, all right? That's the primary way that we do it. We are witnesses. And you're a witness at work. On Sunday mornings, you're a witness. Whether you get up and come to church or whether you don't get up and go to church, you're a witness. How we respond to what's going on around us at work, that's a witness. I didn't say you're a good one, by the way, or I'm a good one. I simply said, no matter if they know we're a Christian, no matter what we do, we're a witness. And we don't have to have all the answers to be a witness. We just got to do what a guy named Phil did one day with his best friend, Nate. And Phil went to him and said, man, I got to tell you, he found Jesus, and Jesus made a difference in his life, and he couldn't wait to tell his friend about Him, which makes sense to me. If something really is great in your life, you want to tell people. So he goes to his friend, Nate, and he said, man, I got to tell you, I found the Messiah. And it's Jesus of Nazareth. And Nate says, look, Nazareth? I didn't think anything good ever come out of Nazareth. And I want to note, if you go back and read John chapter 2, that's where the story is found. What you find is Philip doesn't argue his point with Nathanael. Philip does not bombard Nathanael with 1,000 different Bible verses. In fact, he didn't go through a checklist of questions that ended with, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? He didn't do any of that. What he said to his friend was, come and see. Come and find out for yourself. You come and hang around with Jesus a little bit and see if you don't find out he really is the Savior and the Messiah. See, that's how we witness. We live it before them, because a lot of times they're not going to listen to what we have to say, but they're watching our lives. I suspect most of you have heard of Chuck Swindoll. I mean, prolific pastor, writer, author, all of those things. Well, in one of his books, he tells a story about how before he went into the ministry, he had been drafted and he was doing his time, and he was sent overseas to Okinawa, I believe it was. And he said, you know, he didn't have any idea about being a pastor at that time, but he was a Christian and he wanted to live out his faith, you know, to honor God. That's what you're supposed to do. And he said, you know, I went in there. He said, I really wanted to witness, especially to those, you know, close around. And he said, a guy that was, I guess, on the bunk above him, his name was Eddie. And he said, I went to Eddie like first, second day and wanted to talk to him about Jesus. He said, Eddie, shut me down. He may have known in certain terms he didn't want to hear anything about Jesus and not to bother him with that kind of stuff. And so I said, you know, I didn't know what else to do. He said, I honored. He said, I prayed for Eddie. He said, I tried to live out my faith before Eddie, but he said, I really never got another opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. He said, he just didn't open any door whatsoever. He said, but he said, at one point, he said, I was memorizing scripture. He said, I was in a plan where you memorize so many verses every week. And he said, I was trying to learn these verses. And one day, Eddie came in and asked him what he's doing. He said, well, I'm trying to learn, but I said, I'm struggling a little bit. He said, Eddie, would you help me learn these verses? And they said, well, I'll help you, but don't you be talking to me about this stuff. Day after day, old Eddie helped Charlie. Helped him memorize the verses. Corrected him when he got it wrong. All right? And this went on, Chuck said, for like a year. He said, but when he left Okinawa, he said, Eddie was just as lost as when he got there. He said, you know, he just didn't change. It was about 25 years later, he gets a call from Eddie. They said, Charlie, I want you to know me and my wife got saved tonight. And he said, I know that you didn't know. He said, but I was watching you every day. And all that those verses I helped you learn, he said, it worked. It finally worked. See, we don't have to have all the answers, and we don't have to be the most persuasive talker, but we do have to be committed to the Lord and let him speak and use our lives. All right, that we have to do. And we're in a battle. And we are to contend for the faith. We need to contend with those who say that we are insensitive. How? By being the love and compassion of Christ. We are to contend with those who say that our beliefs are outdated by helping them understand that truths, eternal truths, never go out of date. What was true 1,000 years ago is still true today, and it will be true for all eternity. And yes, we even must contend for the faith if we're staring down the barrel of a gun like those in Oregon. We contend for the faith because it's serious. We contend for it because the further we move as a nation away from the righteous and holy standards of God, the more severe the consequences are going to be. And immorality is nothing more than a cancer that's eating away at the very fiber of our nation. And it is going to take revival in the church before there's ever a spiritual awakening in the country. And so it's time for us to be contagious by proclaiming the living and powerful word of God. Look, Billy Graham said it 24 years ago. He said, every generation's strategic. We're not responsible for the past generation. We cannot bear the full responsibility for the next one. But we've got ours. God will hold us responsible as to how well we do in fulfilling our responsibility to this age and to take advantage of our opportunities. And so the time is now. Now, we don't fight fair, because we fight with God's love. Jude said, I urge you to contend for the faith that has been once and for all entrusted to you. As a parent, there is nothing, I think, more serious that you can ever do than to leave little Avery in somebody else's care while you go somewhere else or go out. You've entrusted her to them, right? And you're just not going to do that with anybody because she's that special and holy. All right? God has entrusted to us the preciousness of the gospel for us to take out there, to live it, to share it, and to make a difference with it. The question becomes, are we contenders or pretenders? You know, in sports, and I love sports, but every year, especially in the NCAA basketball tournament, they're always talking about, you know, different teams that are Cinderella stories, right? They're pretenders. They don't have the depth, the talent to truly, you know, to compete on a day-in, day-out basis with these other teams that are powerhouses, right? And they win some games, and they make it, you know, past the first couple of rounds, and they start talking about, wow, can it be? And occasionally, one of these teams, sure enough, does it, right? But for the most part, they can't compete because they're just pretending. It's not going to, they're going to lose in the end because they just don't have the ability to pull it off. And then there's the contenders. I mean, every year you expect them to be up there, right? I mean, they've got depth like no other team. We expect them to compete. The question before us this morning is, as followers of Jesus, are we contenders or pretenders? Now, we're only pretenders if we don't really sell out to Jesus, by the way. And he doesn't want to be your top priority. He wants to be your only priority. And there's a huge difference there, folks. There's a lot of people say, well, yeah, Jesus is my number one priority. No, 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 that's not what he's asking you for. When he asks you to walk away from everything, he's saying, I want to be your only priority. We are pretenders, and we'll never make a difference. We'll never be everything that the Lord wants us to be if we don't make Jesus our only priority, if we don't sell out to him. That's just the way that it is. Your life will never be everything that God wants it to be until you decide you're going to open up and sell out. So the question, are we pretenders or contenders? And the only way to be a contender is to do that. Open up and let the presence of Christ be in us. And with him, there is nothing that is impossible. And so the question before us this morning, are we contenders or are we pretenders? But grace is a beautiful thing. Because of God's grace, we can all be contenders for the faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your calling. We thank you for the way that you work in our lives and just spectacular ways. And this morning, as we think about who we are and where we are in our relationship with you, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be open and honest and allow your spirit to speak to our circumstance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're not going to sing this morning. I think this morning, I'm simply going to ask Mary to play through the song a couple of times. But I want you to stand and I want you to bow. Because we're in the presence of the Lord. And as we bow and as Mary plays, I want you to think about a couple of things. Are you where you need? Have you opened your? Have you sold out? Are you a contender? Or are you only a pretender? Mary, will you play for us? The good news is simply this. For those of you that said, yes, you want to be a contender, then because of God's grace, because of God's grace, you'll find him at work in your life. And by the way, there's even good news for you that decided you didn't want to embrace him today. The good news is simply this. Because of God's grace, he's still calling out to you. Dr. Blake, lead us in our choral benediction.
Blessing. As we leave, let's ask God to help us to be a blessing to those around us. Make me a blessing together singing. Until we meet again, may God bless you and you're dismissed.